The Lord will help me tonight. Very burdened. I'd like to deliver this. I had to include myself in that, you know. But the Lord's been talking to me about prayer. And are you and I praying enough? And I really started praying when God gave me this message. I've had it for a while. And I have tried to pray enough. But saints, I really don't think sometimes we do. Pray enough. Because, you know, prayer is so important. And if we could sing just one verse of what a friend we have in Jesus. Maybe the first verse, maybe we'll sing more later, but just to sing that. And I thank the Lord for the songs tonight, especially both of them. And my mind is on Jesus a lot tonight and how much he prayed. And to help us to see, it was a weapon he used. It was the greatest tool that Jesus Christ used. And if he used that, we need to use it.
Amen.
And so let's sing that song, just one verse of that. What a friend we have in Jesus. My life, prayer has been my weapon, my spiritual weapon. Prayer has been my hope. Prayer has been my power. Prayer helped me to get saved. Prayer helped me to get sanctified. Prayer took me through.
Yes.
Prayer healed me.
Yes.
Prayer has done many things for others through prayer. I've seen healings. I've seen many miracles through prayer in my lifetime for God. I thank the Lord for the weapon that we have, the spiritual weapon of prayer. You know, when we pray to God, he talks to us. And when we pray to him, if we'll listen and be still, we should not do all the talking all the time, but ask the Lord to talk back to us and listen to him, and he'll talk to you, and he'll tell you things about yourself. And he'll ask, and you can pray then about those things and ask the Lord to help you. Sometimes some of the sweet children that come to the altar of prayer here, it touches my heart. The things that the Lord reveals to them in the saints' meetings. You know, it's not everyone that needs to be saved that comes to the altar. Or sometimes they need to be sanctified or they have another struggle. But the Lord is always there to meet us in prayer. I want to talk about Jesus a little bit here at the beginning. Or maybe quite a bit, but Mark 1 and 35, it says here that, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You know, the habit of Jesus' life was to go and pray in a solitary place. Many times he would go away and pray. And the Lord gave him so much power. God the Father, I'm saying, God the Father. He would pray to God the Father, and the Lord, God the Father would give Jesus so much power. And many times right after that, the disciples would be saying, you know, the people are wanting you. They're wanting you. They're wanting help. They're wanting to be healed, or they're wanting other things. And he had already spent that time with God in prayer, and then he could go out and do those miracles. And you know, that was his strength. And you know, if Jesus was the Son of God and he needed help, he needed prayer, how much more we need prayer? We must pray to get to heaven.
Yes.
And we must not neglect this. If we neglect our prayer life, we're going to be very weak and soon could even lose our soul and not even be saved. That's how serious it is. We must pray every day. And it's not like it's something we have to do it, yes, but God will put it in your heart where you'll want to do it. You'll want to spend time with him. You'll want to spend time. And the more you spend time with him, the more you'll want to spend time with God. And then, you know, he said, go into your closet and pray, and the Lord will reward you openly. And the Lord wants you to go in that closet of prayer. It might not be a literally closet, and it might be a little closet. But you go where you need to go, and you pray to God for help. And you be everything that God wants you to be. Saints, you can do it. You can be saved. You can be sanctified. You can keep on for God. You know, you can keep working for the Lord. You keep doing what God wants you to do. But it all is because of Jesus Christ that gives you that strength to be what you are supposed to be. We've heard a lot of good messages here in this meeting. Yeah. And one of the first ones that Brother Marty had was being desperate to go to heaven. And you know, we're serious about this. If we're all serious about getting to heaven, then we must use this tool of prayer. Because prayer is what's going to help you get to heaven. The devil is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And he is trying to tempt us. He's trying to accuse us. He's trying to do anything he can to trip us up. But when we pray, God gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding that we know how to resist him. It says if we resist him, he will flee from us. If we draw nigh to God, what's it say? He'll draw nigh to us. So there's a weapon right there. If we resist the devil and he comes toward us and he whispers things to us, every one of us, we're human beings, every one of us have these struggles sometimes. It doesn't matter who it is, ministers, it doesn't matter, Sunday school teachers, any older people, younger people, the enemy will come and whisper things to you and try to get you down, but you don't have to be down. I know there's sometimes in a meeting, even, you know, sometimes even before the night service here, and I was just leaning on the Lord, and I didn't know when I was going to deliver this, really, but I was just praying, God, have your way, whatever you want, but I felt kind of tired. But then I thought, you know, I just can't give in to this. I can't give in to this, God. Just give me strength. And, you know, I felt like I got down to pray and the Lord strengthened me. And he helped me to feel like you can do this. You can go. You can do it. And, you know, the Lord just gives us such strength. And I just pray, God, that he does this because it's not really normal sometimes. And the things that we have to do, all of us. But the Lord can give us strength. And, you know, he went in the morning to pray. I don't know. I don't want you to raise your hand or anything like that. I'm not trying to judge anyone. I just want the Holy Spirit to talk to your heart and just say, you know, in the morning, do you think of God? Whatever time you get up. You know, Jesus might have got up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. I don't know. You know, with some time really early, at mentioned there, he said that they found him and they said, he said that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, so it was probably before daylight, that he began to start praying. And I'm not saying that we have to do that, saints, but I'm just saying whenever God wakes you up, you need to think about him right away. You need to think that I need to pray. I need to pray before everything keeps calling me. You know, everything in the world, all the business of the world, all the things... whatever you got to do, man, if you have a job and you feel like, you know, I just barely have time to get out the door, then wake up a little bit early and spend some time with God and pray. Women, the same way. We can get up and get so entangled with housework and just get so busy and get so busy with this and that and the other that we just... the day starts slipping away and we haven't prayed. You know, are we praying enough? Are you and I praying enough? I would never say to you, are you praying enough without saying it to me? I'm saying it to myself. I'm working on myself to pray more. There's nothing wrong with that. It's everything right about it, saints, that we must pray all the way to heaven. And I think about the song that says, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. And you know, isn't that true? Others, many times, even, you know, when you first get saved, I had some struggles like everybody, and the enemy came in at me and tried to get me discouraged from serving the Lord, but I kept rebuking him, and I prayed to God. I said, "Lord, I don't want to ever go back. I don't want to go back." And I was explaining the other night about sanctification. I asked the Lord, "Lord, give me more power to live a holy life. Give me something." And I was in Michigan, and I didn't have a regular pastor. But, you know, Brother and Sister Humphrey would come up there to visit us. But the Lord taught me. He taught me that I needed more help. And I asked the Lord, and he gave me the sweet Holy Spirit to give me the victory and give me more power to live a holy life. You don't have to go back and sin, young people. You don't have to give up God. All you just need to do is more praying. Yes. Pray to the Lord to help you over these temptations. You know, we come to services and you know, the Lord reveals to you what it is. Many times he reveals to you, and you just, maybe you don't know what to do with it, or you're a little shy to come to this altar. You know, there's many times, I know, not in this meeting, but then, there was another meeting that a little girl met me back there. I say a little girl, she was a young woman, but she might even have been married by then, but she remembered me praying with her when she was a little girl. She wanted to pray with me, and she got saved back at the dining hall. Do you know there's work around here going on that you don't know nothing about? It's not always at the altar. But wherever God wants you to pray it through and get help, and the devil will tell you, wait till you get home. Wait till you get home. And then lots of times when you get home, that conviction leaves you, and you don't have it anymore. So if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you to pray, you need to pray somewhere. If you're a little shy, you just need to pray and ask somebody to pray with you and get the help you need. And you know, God wants us saints to be real prayer warriors. He wants us to pray. There's so much to pray about. There's so many needs, and there's so many. And he wants you to pray happy prayers too with thanksgiving. You know, Philippians says, bring your Philippians, I believe it's 4 and 6, but anyway, the Lord wants us to bring our prayers with thanksgiving. I want, you know, saints, we need to have the habit when we go to prayer is to thank God. Thank him for his blessings first. Thank him for all that he has done, and then make your petitions be known to God. We are going before a great God that has done so much for us, and he wants us to come humbly with our petitions. He wants us to not always be asking for everything, but he wants us to thank him for what he's done. And there might be sometimes we could just take one prayer out of that day just for thanksgiving. Is that all right? Just get down, any of the saints, we could do that. Just thank him. Take that one day, if we pray several times in the day, choose one time just to, "Lord, I'm just gonna thank you for everything." Not that we shouldn't pray for other things, but you know, we don't want to get in a habit of always asking, but not thanking him for all he's done. He said, come with thanksgiving, because we are just little children, and God is the great God, and he wants to bless us. I wrote down a few things, but this thought was, jet planes can fly faster than sound, but with all that power, they cannot usher us into the presence of God. Just think about that. Jet planes. We're living in an age where you can fly from here or there. You can fly overseas, you're all over the world. All these things we can do, but yet prayer is more powerful than that. For all that power, you know, when you get on an airplane and you're going up, and most of the time when I'm going up, I'm praying. I'm praying that plane will go up and stay up and be all right, you know. And then once you get up there, you think you're safe. I don't know why you think that, because really you're still not 100% safe, right? Something could still go wrong with that plane. But for some reason, I feel like once I get up there, I'm safe. And here I'm not safe. I'm really not safe except God. And then when I started laying again, I started praying again. Get me down, you know, get us down, all right. But you know, the Lord, all that power is not even a little tiny bit of the power we have through prayer. You know, we've got such power. But with all that power, they cannot usher us into the presence of God. Can you see why how prayer is so wonderful? It ushers us into the presence of the Almighty God. Sometimes that's happened to me. Have you ever got down to pray and you were a little sleepy and you start falling asleep and oh God, will you forgive me? You know, that's okay. You know, I was thinking about he doesn't want us to do that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's okay that he understands us and he loves us. Hey, we can start all over again. Oh, God, forgive me. My flesh got tired, but oh, God, forgive me. I want to pray and I want to be wide awake and I want to thank you and I want to be sincere. I'm talking to the Almighty God now. I want to be reverent. I want to have reverence to him. I know. The Lord, he's just waiting. The disciples, they would get sleepy so many times at the wrong time. It was amazing. And you know, we're just a lot like them. We got to wake ourselves up. We got to realize how important prayer is and never be too busy for it. You can pray driving a car. You can keep your eyes open and you can pray. And many times I've prayed, you may have a long trip and be by yourself. And sometimes driving to Wichita, maybe I was alone and 3 or 4 hours, whatever that is, 3 hours or more. And I would spend it in prayer. And praying for the meeting, praying for myself. And it was so sweet. I had Jesus in there. And I remember one time my husband told me he was working somewhere and he had a long trip to one of the houses he was building. And he said he was spending it in prayer. And he said he felt like Jesus came and sat right beside him in the truck. You know, the Lord, he's so real. He's so true. He will surprise you what he'll do. If you'll take this prayer and pray more, saints, and pray, young people, and pray. And if you're not even saved, start praying. Get saved. And if you need the Holy Spirit, start praying that God will help you understand it and get sanctified. You know, God can help you with everything. If you need healing, just keep praying God's will to be done, but he can heal anything. God can do anything. He's the great God. He's the great I am. He's everything to me. Oh, praise God. I know that God's going to help us, but we're going to have to pray. It's a duty. It's a duty. Something we have to do, but we want to do it, right? We want to do it. And it says all the research of the world and the science cannot create God's love. Just think of that. All these scientists, all this research people have done over all kinds of things, they cannot figure out God's love. But the saints know. We know God's love. We've experienced God's love because we've been saved and redeemed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been sanctified and we understand. And we may be peculiar people, but we belong to God. We may be peculiar to them, but praise God, we are not peculiar because we understand. We understand each other because we've experienced it. Like the song says, we call each other brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. And you know, because we understand one another, that you have the same salvation I have. And it makes us, the blood of Jesus flows through our veins. And that causes us to have unity. We don't make unity, but God creates it. He creates it in us because we have the same spirit. And you know, we don't have any kind of rule book to keep us together, but the love of Jesus, the love of God keeps us together. Isn't that wonderful? And we just have it because we pray together, we work together, and we love one another, and we just keep working on ourselves. You know, God just loves that. He loves the sweetness of unity and love between us. You know, they can't create God's love. Only God. Meditation and prayer. You know, we need to read God's word and we need to meditate upon it. Now, you know, we know this is a pretty good sized book, the Bible. But, you know, it's not too big. to read. We can read a little bit at a time, but we can get it, absorb it. You know, the Lord can give you a scripture. I have a little promise box at home, and I asked the Lord to give me something to encourage me on this thought. And the Lord gave me 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Praise the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. He's listening for us. He's waiting to hear us again. He wants us to talk to him. He is waiting. He's longing. Oh, praise God. And we're longing for him. We're longing to talk to him. You know, I know my husband, we've been married 50 years now. But, you know, I love him. I love him dearly. He loves me. And, you know, we've had a lot of experiences together. But you know what? If I would get up in the morning and never say hello to him, what would he think? He would never think that, because I would never do that, because I always say hello and good morning. And probably just, but what I'm trying to say is we talk to one another. And because you don't live in a house and not talk to that person, that would just be ruined. That would ruin your marriage. You would have nothing left. And you would be terrible. I even know of someone that started doing that, and then their marriage ended up in divorce because they would get mad and they wouldn't get it solved and they didn't talk to each other. But you know, when we talk to one another, that's the way Jesus is waiting. He loves you. He's waiting for you to talk to him. He's your friend. You know, he said, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you got a friend like that, you want to talk to him, right? Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord. There's so many scriptures. Matthew 7:7 says, ask. Ask. You know, I wonder sometimes if we just don't ask enough. I know that I want it to sound, I'm just telling you, you can ask for things that's legal and okay, you know? Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Real saints and true saints are not going to ask for things they shouldn't ask for. But you can ask for a blessing. Yes. Did you know that? You can ask for safety when you're driving cars. You can ask for God to be with you that day. If something was to come up, that he would keep you from an accident. And I want to go into, I've been in accidents. I've been in problems. But you know, I remember not very long ago, I want to testify about this. I had the COVID. We just got over, and I'll try to make this and get back with the word. But this testimony is, we were driving, and Rhonda was in driving the vehicle, and I was behind Rhonda, and Jerry was sitting up front with her. And this truck in front of us had big, huge tree limbs. I mean, big ones. And we were going pretty fast, and one flew out. And we had just got over having the COVID. And, you know, we're just getting well. We're going to visit some of our children. I had my head on the window, and it hit the, just about an inch, I think, away from the glass. It hit that vehicle and dented it all up. And it was such a loud noise, I jerked my head up. I said, oh, dear God, help us. What is this? And we found out what it was. And then I thought that could have been my head. It could have been in my temple. It would kill me, probably. I had a dream not long after that, that my head was all bandaged up, and I was in a hospital, and they were saying, you'll never make it. You're going to die. You can't. And I was saying bye to Jerry. I said, I just can't make it. They said, I'm not going to be able to make it. And the Lord just revealed to me, said, that's what would have happened to you if I hadn't spared your life. But I sent an angel. He done something to be so close. And there's other things. But what I'm saying, we can pray that God will protect us. You know, the saints years ago, and even now, I know you do it now too. But what I'm trying to say, I remember them telling us so many times during testimonies that they would always pray when they stood out for a meeting and stuff for safety. Spend time in prayer. It's so important. Ask and God will do it. Ask for strength and he will do it. Ask for anything you really need and God will do it. He will bless you. So many times if we're not careful, we can be negative. We can go around and say, I'm so tired, I can't do this. I'm just so tired, I can't do this. And you know, the Lord, he softly, gently rebukes me and say, don't say that. Don't say that. Because if you continually say that, guess what? It's what you will be, tired. And you won't be able to. But if you ask the Lord to give me strength in the name of Jesus, and you ask for that strength, he will pour the strength in. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise God. He's so good. He's so great. Oh, the Lord, ask for things you need. You need something tonight? Ask God. Ask him. Seriously, I'm saying. He has proven the greatest friend, and he will bless you. I want to turn to Matthew 27:45. I want to talk a little bit more about Jesus. Do you know when he went on the cross, the song they were singing about the Lord? It says now, 27:45 of Matthew, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. But I want to get the point that Jesus prayed. I was studying this about, let me read the scripture, but Jesus, it was about Matthew 27:45. Anyway, around 9 o'clock a.m., it was after dawn, somewhere around 9 o'clock is when they put Jesus on the cross. And so then he died at the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock, according to Jewish time. So these 6 hours, Jesus prayed. Don't you think that Jesus, the Son of God, prayed all the time, praying for help, that he could do this, that he could stay on the cross? He would not give up. He could have called 10,000 angels, et cetera, something, 12 legions of angels. He could have gave up, but he didn't, because of you and I down here in 2022, that we could be saved. He stayed there, and he prayed, my God, why has thou forsaken me? But that was the human part. That's why it's so sweet about Jesus. He understands you and I. He knows when we go to him. He said he was like, in Hebrews, all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And he said, you have a high priest that understands you. He understands our infirmities. He was, and he can, that's what this whole system was, because God the Father wanted to send Jesus to understand us and be in human form and die for us so he could help us out, because he created us. He wants us to live free from sin and enjoy heaven. Like he in the Garden of Eden, they started out. He wants to do that again and come, bring us to heaven. And we can be holy. We can be righteous in this life, all of our life. We do not have to let the devil have any part of our life. No, we don't. Through prayer, we can have the victory. Yes. We can have the victory over everything of self. Every single thing of self, we can have the victory. There's not one thing you have to struggle with. You can give it to Jesus, and he can help you to be an overcomer. What does the song say? Be an overcomer, only cowards yield. I would be a coward, you? I would be a coward. But I know I would be a coward without Jesus, without prayer. Yes. But I'm not a coward. I'm not a coward because Jesus gives me strength. Yes. He gives me help to be what I want to be, what for him. Yes. Oh, the Lord gives us all that through prayer. Through prayer. We don't know what we're going to face before we leave this world. But I know one thing. I know I serve a living Savior that will be with me. And I know my God. I tell you another story. My uncle in Michigan, he died victorious. And you never met him, but he died with salvation. And I saw a video of his last laying on his deathbed and what he was saying. I had a dream about my uncle. This was several years before he died. I had a dream. He was in my house, and he was opening my cabinets, and he was looking for food. And he was going to the refrigerator, and he was looking for food. And I said, Uncle Dewey, I said, it's okay to say that name. But anyway, I said, I have plenty of food. I have plenty of food for you. You hungry? You hungry? I have lots of food to give you. And I woke up, and the Lord spoke to my heart right then. He goes, it's spiritual food he needs, and you have a lot to give him. So I went searching through my books, and I found a stack of books, and I mailed them to my uncle. And anyway, to tell you, he got saved. He got saved. And oh, it's so wonderful. And he would contact us and send Christmas cards and different things. And he called us if he saw a tornado coming to Oklahoma. But, you know, he got saved. And when he was dying, I guess it was a pastor from the church where he went or whatever, but he still got saved. He really got saved. And he said, are you afraid? And he said, and I saw the video. My brother, who was here recently, he showed me the video because my brother and his wife went to visit him before he died. And he said, I have faith. And he said, if you have faith in Jesus, there's no fear. He said, you can have fear and faith at the same time. And he said, I have faith in God. And he said, so it takes away my fear. It was so sweet. He had lost a lot of weight. He had cancer. But he was delivered. He got saved. You know, the Lord can give us dreams. He can talk to us how to help our loved ones. He is a God of, the God of all possibilities. That's the word I want. All possibilities. There is nothing impossible with God. Do you believe it tonight? There is nothing impossible with God. And we get it through praying. We get all this through praying to Jesus to help us. When sick people come here on the altar, you know what Peter and John said? They went to the temple. It was about the ninth hour. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They went to the temple at the Jewish time of prayer and sacrifice. And the man was at the temple gate begging for an alms. He was crippled. And I love this story. And Peter and John said, he reached out to him and he was expecting to receive some money. But he took his hand and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He immediately sprung up, strengthened, healed in his limbs, and he was leaping and praising God. Yes, this is what I'm saying, saints. If we pray, enough. Pray more. Pray more. Pray more. Keep praying and be the saint that God wants you to be. Because you know what? We're going to meet someone like that. Yes. We're going to meet someone and we can say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Because we're going to be full of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord can heal them. Yes. Praise God. But it all comes through prayer. Prayer is our life. Prayer is our key to heaven. Prayer is our lifeline. I read a story a long time ago in one of the tracts. This little girl, her little sister was sick. You might have read that. And she got on a regular telephone, one of those old-timey wall telephones. And she called. And she goes, Jesus, are you there? And says, my sister is sick, and she needs to get better, Jesus. And she says, you know how a child's faith? Thank you, Jesus, for healing her. Thank you. Bye. She hung up the phone. This little sister got well. From a baby's prayer, so to speak, you know. This is how powerful prayer is. Oh, I tell you, it's powerful. Powerful. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit in St. Luke 9 and 29. There are so many scriptures, so many things. It says, as Jesus, you know, he took Peter, John, and James. He went up to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who have appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, this was before Jesus died, when he met Moses and Elijah. I'm telling you what, Moses and Elijah was alive. They were in heaven. And they came down to converse with Jesus and talk about his decease in Jerusalem. These saints that have passed and left us here on earth, they are still alive. They are in heaven reigning. We are going to be with them someday. We are still connected in a way, spiritually. We're just a veils between us because we're mortal in our mortal bodies. But we are going to have a spiritual immortal body someday. We are going to be like Jesus. We're going to be in heaven. And you know what? When Jesus was talking, Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Now here they were, sleeping again. Sleeping again. When I was reading that, brothers, sleeping again. You know, but isn't that like us sometimes? We get sleepy in service. Sometimes, forgive me, I know sometimes I have. And my husband helps me out. And I want to wake up because I want that minister to know I'm paying attention. I try my best, okay? But our flesh gets the best of us sometimes. And we don't want the flesh to get the best of us. We want God to get the best of us. And we got to plead the blood of Jesus to keep awake. You know, they got a little sleepy, but what happened? They woke up just in time. Do you know if they hadn't woke up, they wouldn't have missed all this. They would have missed this transfiguration. They would have missed this glistering Jesus. They would have missed seeing Moses, Elijah, if they'd kept on sleeping. We're going to miss some things if we get sleepy all the time. We're going to have to wake up and pray more. I, you know what? I'm preaching at me more than you, okay? Because I got a measure to this message. You know, God gives me a message. I got a measure to it. Yes. Oh, yes, I can't. Do that. I can't preach that and not do that. So I've got to be even more praying, because I know this is my lifeline to heaven. This is my lifeline in the ministry to help people. I want you to be helped. I want you to, that's my goal, is I want you to get some help tonight. I want you to know you got to pray more. Is there, you know, I don't know what it is. Is there something wrong? Why did the Lord give me this message? It's God, He gave me the message. He wants you to pray more. Don't take it from me. Take it from Jesus Christ. He's inspiring you to pray more, to get closer to Him. Every one of us can get closer to God. Every one of us can do it. That's right. Every one of us can be prayer warriors. Every one of us can help each other. Every one of us can encourage one another. Every one of us can be what God wants us to be. Oh, yes, you know the story, but that's what I wanted to tell, that story. That's such a sweet story. And I want to make sure that I tell the story of what Jesus said. You know, Jesus said something wonderful when he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, do you know Jesus had to forgive? Yes. We have to forgive one another. Yes. We have to. If anything comes up, we just got to forgive, because if we don't forgive, Jesus won't forgive us. Right. Don't hold on to anything.
Right.
Go to the cross. Ask Jesus to help you. Help. We can forgive. Jesus forgave those that were killing him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. He was praying the whole 6 hours. I'm confident of it. I'm confident he had to pray for help to God the Father to get him through that. And we're going to have to pray morning, evening. And I may not go to all the scriptures, but I'm telling you, you know Daniel. And when you think about prayer, you think Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night. We have a little song like that. I don't know exactly what time he prayed. I don't know if he was doing the Jewish. It said he opened the wall and his face towards Jerusalem, and they had the sacrifice around 9 and noon and 3 o'clock. So maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe he opened the walls to Jerusalem and he prayed at the time of the sacrifice. Maybe that's what he was doing. But he was praying. And you know, we think of the story that he was delivered from the lions, which was a wonderful story. But do you know why Daniel was delivered from the lions? Because he was a praying man, a praying man. And God, when the lions came, God delivered him. Now, you and I, we may not have the same thing happen to us, But it may be some other trouble. But if we pray, Sister Baxter, you encouraged me tonight. You know what? If we pray when the trouble comes, we'll be delivered. We'll be delivered just like Daniel, because God will look down and said, and remember the kings came and he couldn't rest because they tricked him, but he couldn't rest at night because he really knew that Daniel was innocent. But he came to the mouth of lions. He says, "Oh, Daniel, whom you, your God that you serve continually, was he able to deliver you from the lions?" And he said, "Oh, yes, king, live forever. For my God saw innocency in me." Oh, may God see innocency in us. And holiness and righteousness and godliness and all these things come from Jesus Christ. It's not that our righteousness is as filthy rags, but that doesn't mean we don't have any. It means that all our righteousness and being a saint of God comes from Jesus Christ. He gave it to us. He gives it to us through prayer and keeping close to him. You know, we were saved 50 years ago. But like we heard in the meetings, if we hadn't stayed in service, if we hadn't read and prayed, if we hadn't kept pressing on, we wouldn't be here. Yes. Did it do that? And you think, well, 50 years. But we still can't give in. We still got a ways to go. We don't know how long. The Sister Clay was talking about the dream, about the ladder. I had a dream at Monarch about the ladder to heaven. I was going through a very hard trial at this Monarch. It was years ago back. But anyway, God knows. And I had a dream. And I saw this ladder. And the ladder was going up to heaven. And I was climbing the ladder. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Are you all right?" And I got to the top of the ladder and I said, "Yes, I am now." When I reached the top. And sometimes I thought, how many steps did I climb there? How long I'm going to live, you know? But that doesn't really... What matters is I just keep going on for God, right? And just live for him and be what he wants me to be and pray every day, night. And there's sometimes it's a little harder for me to get on my knees now, you know, get a little older. But I got this little stool. I bought the stool. I thought it was bigger, but it's smaller. But I thought, well, you know, it's just a perfect little stool to kneel down and pray, a little more comfortable. But, you know, sometimes I get on that stool, I can pray longer. Sometimes it's shorter times. I want to encourage you and young people, don't give up prayer because you think you don't have a lot of time. Pray what you can do, okay? And, it, you know, sometimes we have schedules and the clock. And sometimes we have to be places. But you know, the Lord understands. Pray and go. And then pray again every chance you get. And pray without ceasing. Yes. Do you know it says pray without ceasing? How can we do that? Because we're always in the spirit of prayer. Yes. We're always up. We're always living close to God. And we're in the spirit of prayer. Because emergency can happen anytime. Right? Just anytime. And we have to. I mean, years ago, Sharla got kicked with a horse and her stomach had a big cut in her stomach and we had to have prayer. You know, I'm just saying, things happen. You know, you're not expecting it and it happens. But if you keep your prayer life up and keep close to God, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will help you. I'm going to read some scriptures here that I wrote down because to save time here. But I want to read some of these scriptures. St. John 14:3, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." St. John 17:9, "I pray for them, I pray for the world, but for them, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou gavest me." Jesus is praying for you and I. Amen. He prays for me. He prays for you. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know Jesus is praying for you that you'll keep? He said he was praying for Peter. He's praying for you that you'll keep saved. He's praying for you that you'll keep encouraged. He's praying for you that you'll go all the way to heaven. He wants you to make it. Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus is praying for you. It says right here, "I'm praying for them that thou gavest me." And if we belong to God, he's praying for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And for me, Paul said, pray for me. I ask your prayers for me. I need prayer. Yes. Pray for me that I'll keep going on until I die. Pray I'll keep being faithful to God. I pray for you. Pray for one another. You know, the more we pray for one another, the more we love one another. Did you know that? That's why the Lord says, and I know I'm not your enemy, I'm not saying that, but he said, pray for your enemies. Pray for them that curse you and despitefully use you, that you may be the children of God, or something like that. Because he said, I let the rain come on the just and the unjust. Be like me. You know, he sends the rain to the farmers that are sinners. He sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. He said, be like me. Love them. Pray for them. And I thought, Lord, that's a secret. Because when you're praying for somebody that you think might be your enemy, you start loving them. And you start forgiving them. Isn't that right? Because you can't do nothing else. Because you're entering into the circle of God and the presence of God. And he causes you to love them. So we got to pray always with all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6:18, in the spirit. And for me, Paul. St. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hebrews 15:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, the Lord wants us to come. It's not a boldly that's not a carnal boldly like that. But it's a boldness of believing. See what I mean? You know, it's like when we pray for the sick, we can't just go up there and just barely not believe. But we've got to say, like Peter and James, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Yes. Were they not bold? Were they not bold to say that? People looking on? People watching? Well, the devil can whisper all kinds of things. What if he don't get healed? And you just did all that? What if he don't get healed? But they were bold. They came to the throne of grace with boldness. It says, come with boldness. And let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you go to pray, we do need to pray for others. But dear ones, we need to pray for ourselves first. Yeah. Just telling. I think about when I'm on the airplane and the little flight attendant, she'll say, or a man, we'll say, well, if we get into a problem and that comes down, you need air, you know, the little tube there. Put it on your face first. Put the strap on you first, and then you help the person next to your child or whatever. But put it on you first. And I was thinking, what about spiritually? Should we not be filled up with God first and then help the other one? If we try to help the other one and we're not where we are should be, it's not going to go too well. But if we take care of us first, help ourselves first, pray like we should first, then we can pray for others. Yes. And we can help others. So it says here, I put this, great meetings are prayed down. And we still have several days. And we've had a great meeting already. But I know many of the saints are praying. I know two sisters that were praying on the telephone. You know, I know a story about two sisters, older sisters. Do you remember hearing that story? They would meet at a chapel, I think, or they met somewhere, and they prayed for a revival in the town. And they prayed and prayed and prayed that God would send a revival. And all of a sudden, this revival broke out. It was such a wonderful revival. And nobody really knew until later that these two older sisters was praying for revival. They wouldn't give up. And God sent one. God sent one. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer. So it's the greatest weapon in the world. It's the lifeline to heaven. Prayer is our power. Prayer is our hope. Prayer is our peace. Prayer helps our family members. Prayer is, I've said it before, the greatest weapon in the world. It's our lifeline to heaven. It's our connection to heaven. One of Jesus' greatest tools was prayer. Should it not be ours?